Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone that's listening now or listening later. I'm certainly glad you're here today on Saturday afternoon. It's hot outside for here in South Florida. It's about 100. That's what it feels like. And I know a lot of places it's really hot. But I tell you what, not but, and I'm super excited because my father, Gene Abbott, is going to be doing another episode of God Coaching. And, Dad, I'm super excited today to have you because you have written your book. I know you got a lot of books in the fire. And by the way, I had a dream about this book years ago. I'll tell you about that another time. It was really funny. Not funny, but it was like, wow, okay. Anyway, so he wrote a book, and we're going to talk to him about today about that. And welcome. I'm glad you're here, Dad. This is a good time for you, right?
Well, I'm glad to be here. Glad to talk to you. Glad to witness for God.
Yeah, I know. I know. I love that about you. I quote you and what you tell me all the time. And you got this book, and it's God Finding Me. I was going through it again today. I read it before. And by the way, anybody who's listening, it is a wonderful, wonderful book. I like it because it gives you making money, finding love, finding your destiny. Wow. And in making a relationship work or creating a great relationship. And doesn't that sound wonderful? Most of the clients I get that because of my coaching want to know about love and money, and you cover that in your book, which I love. So thank you for being here. Anyway.
Yep.
So let's talk about this because I want people to really understand. You open up your chapter with I am Gene, and you know, reading it again, your mom, my grandmother, I never met, neither did you, except that moment in time when you were born. You lost your mom at birth, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Take us on the journey a little bit. What happened?
Well, I hate to talk about myself, but anyway, had a three-story farmhouse out in the country, and my dad raised tobacco and raised kids, and obviously I was the last kid he raised. But yeah, I was born near death, and that has saved my life. Mama died, and I was full of mucus and just stored up with all kinds of things, and I was born with pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
And I was ready to die. I didn't know it, of course. Mama said to him, said, take care of him, Colonel. He's special. And my dad stayed up with me that night, and the doctor said to him, the doctor came out, and I was born in a house, not a hospital. Doctor came out and said, if he's alive in the morning, give me a call. And that night, before anything happened, I began to cough and chuck myself to death, and my daddy rammed his big hand. He had huge hands. Ran his hands down to my throat, and he began to pull out everything that's possible. My insides, I didn't think. I was
a baby.
And the next morning, I went to sleep, and I woke up peaceful. My red skin began to come together, and my daddy was kind of rested, and it was it. So therefore, begin my life.
So that began your life. You didn't have a mom. You had a dad that was great at figuring things out on the spot. A doctor said, "I'll be back if he lives." And people pay big money now to be born in their home, And that was your only choice that you had, obviously, or grandpa had. To have you in your farmhouse. And let me ask you a question, Dad. Did you ever feel, because you didn't have a mom, and I know that you were the first few months of your life, you were raised by, I believe, your brother's wife, if I'm not mistaken. And did you ever feel like you didn't have something because you didn't have a mother?
No, I never felt rejected. I had my sister, Margaret, and my other sister, Lois, and my brother's wife, Nellie. And I thought I was normal. But okay. Little did I know I was abnormal.
Okay, well, no, you're very normal, I understand that, but people get a lot of help with that sometimes. But you didn't feel rejection, you didn't feel a loss, you went on your merry way as a little boy getting into trouble and having fun. And I love that part of your story. And one of the things that I noticed or wanted to ask you, did you feel God in your life or something like God? Or because I know you learned about God very early in life. Did you feel God around you? Because I know in North Carolina, there was and it's still like that. There's a lot of churches and people talking about God and preachers there and people in ministry. Did you feel God at that young age, as you were growing up in your in elementary school? Did you know anything about that, or did they say, well, what's God? Or did you have any kind of pull toward that at all?
Well, you know, my father, along with three other men, formed a church. Now, he was not a pastor. He was just a normal member and stayed that way for his entire life. But I was raised in a church. I was 7 years old. A man called A.B. Asphalt was a preacher, and he preached hell, fire, and brimstone, love. He preached everything. Well, I accepted Christ at an early age. Well, I accepted the belief in Christ. And, you know, you're amazing you asked that, because when I was 7 years old, I could preach, I could pray. It was a Pentecostal-type church. It was a Baptist church, but bad Pentecostal belief. And so I grew up understanding God through my father. My father was a strict disciplinarian. He didn't know much about school, but he was disciplined. I grew up saying yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am. Everybody was a ma'am, and everybody was a yes, sir, and no, sir. And that's the way I grew up. I learned how to be good around people. But well, I'll leave it there. Yeah, I grew up as a Christian.
Okay, you grew up with knowing God when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior when you were 10 years old, right? And
seven,
all right. Wow, I read that. I apologize about that. So 7 years old, you grew up knowing that you asked Jesus in your heart, and Jesus came, obviously. And then you went about your living your life, getting into trouble in school, because I remember you used to tell me some of those things that you used to do. And did you feel God calling you at a young age, at 7 years old, 8 years old, because you're saying you're preaching at the age of 10, and Preacher Asbel and two other preachers there. Did you feel that you were being called to preach then?
No, not at all. In fact, I went against it.
Okay.
At the age of 11, I think it was 11, 12. As I said, my daddy worked hard. He didn't have any money. But we had a farm, and I went about my business. But at the age of 12, I went to work at a restaurant. 11, I don't know. What I wrote in the book is correct. But anyway, I went to work and worked second shift. I went to work at 3 or 4 o'clock. I got off at 11, 12, 1, 3 o'clock. I worked at a drive-in restaurant, and I'd catch curb and I'd take food out to customers, and they'd pay me, and I'd take the money back inside. And that's how I grew up, learning to work. I worked hard every afternoon from school. I had chores I had to do, and he would whip my hind end if I didn't do them. And I worked hard. I love him, but I hate him at the same time. I hope you can understand that.
I do.
Love and
I get
I hate.
It.
And it was just that way. I was by myself with my stepmother, of course, which was not a mother. But anyway, I grew up and got in all kinds of trouble. I worked hard. I made money. Bought my car when I was 16 years old, paid cash for it. And that's how I grew up, just every day, working, going to school. Going to school was easy.
Right.
It was a fun time. All my teachers, I was a teacher's pet for everybody. Blue eyes, blonde hair. They loved me. They chose me. Go ahead.
I love that. Okay, so I want to go back to this because this is important. You said you got annoyed, mad, didn't like it, whatever, about, you know, you didn't want to be a preacher or anything. You just put it on the back burner, or maybe you didn't even look at it at all. Okay, so, if somebody goes through that, you went through that, what made you, did you turn to God when you got in trouble? Like when you were, I don't know, in school, when you got in a fight? Do you say, hey, God, will you help me out here? Jesus, Mr. Holy, will you help me out? Did you have that kind of relationship?
Not at all. I just went about myself, and I thought everything was about me. I thought I could do anything, try to do everything, and I tried to do everything correctly. I could play ball. I could do anything. And I'm not a physical person. I was only 5'9", 160 pounds, but I thought I could play ball better than anybody. I thought I could fight better than anybody. I live for myself, okay?
Okay.
And
all right, so you live for yourself.
I turned to God when as you read the book, I turned to God because of you.
Okay, I know that, but I want people to understand that are listening now or listening later. Thank you, So when you found God again, well, God never leaves us. I truly believe that. I think that we turn
God
the light
never
off.
Left me.
Yeah, no. And so, but what got you to like, okay, and I think my mom helped with that one, right? In the sense of she got you to go to church, right? Because she was, you guys were struggling with your relationship, right?
Yes, very much so.
So you turn to God, and he's like an old buddy. God, Mr. Holy, and Mr. and Jesus, I call them the Holy Triplets, Holy Family, whatever you want to call them, but Holy, you know, Holy Trinity. So how did that happen? God said, not, and Mom said, let's go to church, and you said, sure, let's go. Was that kind of how it was, or what happened?
No, that's not the way it was. You know, I was doing all kinds of stuff outside of marriage. But every Sunday I get up with a group of guys. I was kind of an executive because it's a little company that promoted me higher and higher. And I was out of service, and, you know, I crashed airplanes and did all kinds of stuff. And I thought I was invincible. And I was not much of a husband, I can tell you that. And I appreciate anybody listening to this to believe that as a husband, you give yourself, all of yourself, not part of it. But I gave her everything but me. And so finally, in desperation, she said to me, I'm taking my daughter to church. I said, what the hell are you going to church for? And she said, because I believe that she needs church. She was an orphan when she was growing up, and she's raised in an orphanage and training and went to nursing school and county school, and she was raised in a Presbyterian home. And I said, where are you going to church? And she said, well, I'm the first church I come to, and the first church was the Pentecostal Holiness Church. I said, you know, I don't know Pentecostal Holiness Church, but they don't believe in God, they believe in the devil. That was where I was. Anyway, she went to church and came back home, and when I got back from playing golf, I said, how'd it go? She said, well, I went to church. I enjoyed it. I'm going back Wednesday. I said, not going to church. They believe in the devil. They believe in God. They do not. I was born in a church, and I know how churches go. I said, I'm going with you. So I went to church with her. And the next Sunday, I went back to church again, too, because it was a good church. It was a bunch of Pentecostal church. Anyway, my daughter was suffering bad case of asthma and near death. I soaked her in a bathtub full of ice before the rescue squad got to her. She had a temperature of 105 and it was still climbing. She's out of her mind. we went to church and Scott prayed over her, and the church prayed over her. And the girl I'm talking about is my daughter, which you're listening to now. And the power of God came over her, healed her. She never suffered from asthma again. There's no cure for asthma. But her lungs became strong. Said, Daddy, I think I'm not having asthma anymore. Anyway, that's how it all happened. God came over her, came over me, came over the family. And next thing you know, I turned to God. I really believe I got saved that time. But again, I was 7 years old. I turned to God, but really, I was 24 years old.
Right.
I turned over to God. God took care of me.
So I hear what you're saying. Your daughter, which is me, had a healing, you know, and so here's a question for you. And I know that you're going to answer this. And you said that time you accepted Jesus. You only have to accept Jesus once, but you rededicated your life, accepted him, whatever, but you're on your way to heaven if when something happens to you, maybe the rapture, which we talked about last week. So, you've got, what I love about your book, I want to put this as a side note, is that you've got, like, tips, you've got, like, notes, you know, and healing, you've got scriptures about healing, physical healing, I guess, that's what I'm going to call it. And so, do you feel like anyone can be healed?
Anyone can be healed. You believe in Jesus? Jesus enters into your life. Jesus can heal anyone at any time. But don't think it's a man thing. It's a Jesus thing.
Absolutely. I get it. I'm sorry.
He can heal you. He can take somebody like myself and pray for my daughter, which is you. And through that prayer, through just listen to him and believing in him, have faith in him, he can heal. God is the most wonderful thing in the world. There's nothing greater, finer, momentous than God. And God heals people. Man don't heal people. God heals people.
I know that to be a fact, and I agree with you. So let me ask you this. Do you have to have – we all doubt, right? I mean, for you to get in plane crashes and that didn't – you had to be praying to God then, right, for instance. You know, God, get me out of this. Or maybe you didn't. Maybe you were just, like, on adrenaline and, you know, and knew you were going to be okay. I get that. Is that true? Because I want to go back to the healing, but I want to make – because you touched on the plane crashes, and I want to make sure I bring that up pretty quickly here.
I didn't think anything could kill me.
Okay, fair enough.
I was flying over Kodiak, Alaska. We were ready to crash, and we were definitely going to crash, die. And Commander Pomonte said to me, he said, Gene, why are you laughing? And I said, well, it's all right. I'm going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Commander Monday said, don't you understand that we're going down? We don't have any power. We don't have any electricity. We don't have nothing. We're flying in sleeting and snow. We're going to die. I'll forget. But it's going to be all right. And we were all right. And every time I was in a dilemma like that, rarely did it become afraid. Just like I was invisible. But
okay.
God knew what it is.
God knew that you. Right?
Go ahead. Yep.
God knew what he was doing. Did you feel that God was part of that? It sounds like you did on some level. I just want to know that because people get terrified at a lot of different things, but it sounds like you had that in the bag where you knew you were going to be okay.
Well, I knew it was going to be all right. But remember this. No, not remember, but in the book I don't know whether I did or not, but I should. And when I was growing up, I had turned away from God, lived my life like pure hell itself. But I had a scripture verse that I carried in my wallet at all times. When I get into trouble, sometimes I'd be at the bar in, let's say, Hawaii, and I'd be sitting at the bar and I'd be crying. People walked in and said, what the world's wrong with you, Gene? I said, oh, nothing, forget it. And I had opened my Bible, opened my wallet, pull up this scripture verse, and John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I read it and I cry. I think about all the things I was doing, all the things I had been through, all the things I was going to go through. And I cry because God was dealing with my heart.
Wow. That's wonderful. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth in him won't die but live forever in heaven, right? With him and God and me.
That's correct.
Okay, good. Well, I just want to make sure people understand that one. So thank you. All right. Well, it just looks like, seems like you had a guy was keeping you in his hand, or in his heart. Yeah, I love that. That's a great story. So let's get back to the healing a minute. I want to make sure I cover that. So you, anybody can be healed. Okay, so this is a tricky one, or maybe not. Do you feel that you have to have more faith? Do you have to believe, which is part of faith? So explain, what do you think faith is? Is that true, or is it something different, or is there more to that physical healing? Maybe it's not a physical healing, it's spiritual healing, too.
Faith is not tricky. Faith is believing and understanding that God is in control and that God can heal.
Right.
And God will heal. But it's something that you live with. We know within your heart that God's in control of everything. When you called me today and said, I want to talk about your book, you know, I just know that God controls everything. God controls the healing. All kind of people grow up and they believe in healing. It's all a bunch of junk. But God himself is the person that heals. He walks in your footprints. He takes care of you. I believe with all my heart that if you believe in God and you believe in what he says, that the Holy Spirit, which you call Mr. Holy, the Holy Spirit will lead you to pray to God to heal that person. And, you know, I have a special prayer that I pray every day for healing for a certain person. It hasn't happened. Will it happen? Yes, it will. I pray, forgive me for saying this. See, I'm not talking about it. But every day I say a prayer for T, my daughter, you. That you have diabetes, that God, I think it's time for you to heal her. I don't know what he's going to do it or not, but I believe that he will and he can, and he will in time heal you. But that's another story.
Yes, it is. And one of the things I feel that people have this for a reason, not something arbitrary. And, you know, I've been praying that for myself because just so you know, Dad, I there will be a time in the next minute, I say minute, you know, because it's not going to be very long, where I feel that will happen because it's already happening. I know you know what I mean, or maybe you don't, but anyway, that's good. And you've got Bible verses here in your book about healing. So I think you quoted 1 Corinthians 12:9 and also John 9:13. Okay. So about healing scriptures. That's cool. And just have faith and believe. And maybe instead of doing it on your time, we have to do it on divine guiding. You know, I say you're meaning any of us, divine time, right? I always think God's time is okay. Yeah. So when you do it on divine time,
God.
Right? Sorry?
It's God.
Right.
God's
divine time, God time. Yeah. So maybe I've in the past, right? When some of us have been waiting for a phone call, you know what I mean, girls? We're waiting for that guy to call, or we're like, God, please. And so, I've learned a long time ago, you know, God, it's his time, and his time is better than mine. Although there's been times I haven't thought that, right? When I was a kid, getting grounded, God, please let him unground me soon. And then my dad would never give me a time; he would always give me when I see a change. That could be forever. But we had some fun with that. So God's time, and how do we connect with God's time instead of being selfish? Because I think that's selfishness when we say it's got to be now, it's got to be me, it's got to be this. What do you think about that, Dad? Because you talk about it in your book.
I think that Mr. Holy, as you call him, the Holy Spirit, will lead and guide and direct you. He directs your prayers. And when God, when you feel like it's time, when you feel like it, we always feel like that. But when we feel like, and the Holy Spirit is leading you, when the Holy Spirit is leading you, you pray to God and God will heal. Never forget that. We have a free will. We can live like hell and God doesn't object. He doesn't live, but he doesn't honor it. When he honors you, he honors your prayer through the Holy Spirit, Mr. Holy, as you call him, and God will heal.
Okay. I agree with you on that. So, you know, the other day I said, okay, I know I got a little upset, but I know you're forgiving me. I said, so I'm sending out an SOS. I don't know how to fix this program. Can you help me? Because I'm doing stuff now. I went to taking some classes and everything, so I can do a lot of this myself for now. And I figured it out, right? Well, I didn't. They gave me the information, which is amazing because I don't have a brain like that. Well, maybe I have more of one today. That's a good thing. And I appreciate God for hearing my prayers because I want to make sure people get this. So here's another question I have, Dad. I know that you've been amazing with the healing, my asthmatic healing, and I know that you yourself have had healings that have taken more time, but you have them. We all have, and maybe not all of us, but we do have healings. So I tell you something, what I do know is when I talk to people about love and money, in your book, you talk about being a successful businessman. Do you think it's possible to have both, being successful in your love life, okay, whether you've been married a year or 100 years, and do you think you can have that same success and balance both of them in your business or career? What's your thoughts on that? Because you talk about it in your book.
Yeah, I'll talk about that because being successful has always been easy for me. Was I born rich? No, my father was very, very poor. He worked two jobs. And I grew up knowing that I could, if I exerted myself, I could do almost anything. I could make straight A's in school. I could do anything. I could play baseball. I could play football. I could do anything I wanted to do. When I set my mind to do something, I did it. And my book says, winning in business, but failing miserably in relationships. You know, model of relationships. Remember this, that relationships is a two-way street. Your relationship with her and yourself. But God will allow you to work the way you want to work. He believes in free will. Free will means that I can go out and I can do things, practice what I learned, and go ahead. But God doesn't honor the free will. He allows you to exercise your free will.
Right.
So in business, I could do anything I wanted to do. I could make money. I could run a $20 million business. It didn't bother me. I could gamble. I could do anything, and God allowed that. Did he enjoy it? Did he want me to do that? No. That's the reason when I finally turned my life over to God, that relationships had to come to a halt. I had to understand that my relationship with God was more important than my relationship with anything. But as a believer and a person that believes in God, we look to God for answers. Now, I know people don't like this very much, and probably about you the same way. But the Bible has 66 books. In those 66 books, 1,190 chapters. And God says, read this book and go what the book said. The book is full of answers, relationships, and love, and hate,
right,
and everything. And that's where I live today is reading his book. I had no problem writing my book. It's easy. But living for God is difficult at times. Not difficult
right.
when you try to manage God. God doesn't allow it. God is not going to be managed. He will answer your questions. He will come to you when you ask him.
he has an open door. Mr. Holy says, Gene, it's time for you to do this. I ignore it, or I can do it. Sometimes I question and say, are you sure you want me to do this? Yes, it is. And I do it. But he and I have a relationship. As you said, as Terry, my daughter, as Terry wants to do something with me, she says, Daddy, do you mind? I say, yes or no. When I say to Mr. Holy, do you mind if I do this? He says, yes or no. And I listen. I obey. Oh, we always have to listen to God. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, you always do, and we always don't. And sometimes we don't. I try to do that, and then, you know, Dan, you and I, you're so much better at that because I'll fight and argue, like, whatever, right? So anyway, I'll get nudged about it. But they're my buddies. God is my buddy. God, all three triplets are, and I know the same for you. That's wonderful. So I know you're going to do workshop, and guys, I tell you this, finding freedom with Jesus and God and Mr. Holy. That's one of the things he'll teach about, finding freedom, okay, with God, true freedom. And then the other thing that he will talk about is finding your destiny. Man, everybody wants to know that. What's my destiny, whether you're 8 or 80, 90, whatever. And then and what do you do? How do you get started with your destiny? And how do you balance, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I've heard this before. I grew up in North Carolina, and now people are better about it, but some people think you have to be poor and get your riches in heaven. But if you want to be financially wonderful and serve people, serve God and serve people, help them find God, or God find them, however that works for you, well, God always knows where we're at. But that's something that, you know, I think my father will talk about, is that you can have love, you can have money, you can have God first, and enjoy your life. You don't have to be in the, you know, in servitude in the sense of not enjoying your life. You can love God and enjoy your life and show others how to do it. All you have to do is just say, hey, Jesus, I hear you, and I'm inviting you in my heart because I know you died on the cross for me, and I'd like to take you in my heart. And that's all you have to do. And just say thank you for that. And I always say thank you, amen, and so it is, right? Because you say amen and you invite Jesus in your heart. Ooh, I'm telling you, what a great love story that is between you and God. And I love that. So my father's going to teach a workshop about that. I have not really told him about that, but I thought he's written so well. It's written about it so well, and I know that he can help others and too as well. So, Dad, do you have anything else to say? Because we got a minute or two here. I made it happen. So. Anyway,
well, just remember this: you believe in God, you believe in how to get God. Now, remember, when you become godlike and believe in God and a servant of God, remember this: that you no longer believe in yourself, but you believe in God, and know that God will honor you and help you, and help you with your destiny. I know that people want to be rich. I don't want to be rich anymore. Why? Because I know that my God and me belong to Him. I don't want to be rich. I want to be close to God. Now, I have to say this because I believe with all my heart. As you become close to God and you're expressing God, that you will become wealthy. Not wealthy. I'm not trying to say rich, but you'll be well off. But more than that, you will understand that God allows you to be yourself, to understand Him. And when you say, Christ, I believe in you. I want you in my heart, that you become His servant. You're no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. Christ died for you. And He will live in your heart.
Oh, that's beautiful, Dad. And that's true. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do it? We got to go in a second here. So I want to make sure we get that covered.
My Wells Fargo, what is my email address? Oh, Colonel Abbott. Colonel Abbott. and 366 at gmail.com. Colonel Abbott 366 at gmail.com. And I will answer any question I can. Me and Mr. Holy, Holy Triplet, T, et cetera, will somehow come up with the right answer for you. If you want to know anything that I can do for you, let me know. Colonel Abbott, 366 at gmail.com.
All right, everybody, take care. We'll see you next week, and enjoy your weekend. Bye now.
Have a blessed time.
Yeah.